İyi akşamlar sayın izleyicilerimiz. Bir Ayrı Zaman ve Yaralış Delileri programına daha hoş geldiniz. Bu akşam Ender Hocam, Önder Hocam ve Amerika'dan çok değerli bir misafirimiz var. Misafirimiz Sean Ali Stone, Hollywood'un en ünlü yönetmenlerinden Oliver Stone'un oğlu Sean Ali Stone. O da Oliver Stone gibi hem yönetmen, yapımcı ve senarist, hem 2 yaşından bu yana pek çok Hollywood filminde de rol almış bir sanatçı. Geçtiğimiz aylarda kelime-i şehadet getirdi ve Kur'an'ın Hazreti Muhammed sallallahu aleyhi ve sellemin hak olduğunu tasdik ederek Müslümanlığı kabul etti. Kendisi tek Allah'a inandığını, İslam'ın Hristiyanlığa ve Müslümanlığa düşman olmadığını, 3 dinin mensuplarının barış içinde yaşayabileceğini, savaş kışkırtıcılığına son verilmesi gerektiğini her fırsatta, özellikle de uluslararası televizyon röportajlarında vurguluyor. Welcome, Ali Sean Stone.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah, MashaAllah.
A little head cold.
Yeah, may Allah give you shifa. And I just introduced you and that you're son of a famous, prominent Hollywood artist, Oliver Stone. And you repeated Kelime-i Shahadat 2 months ago and became a Muslim. And inshallah, you believe in Allah, alhamdulillah. And you believe that people of the book treated nicely, like indicated in the Quran, MashaAllah. How you became a Muslim, MashaAllah?
You know, it's more of a revelation, I guess you'd say, that I saw this was a step I had to take when I was in Iran at the time, February this year. And it was just something that came to me as more as a vision to be, you know, to accept Islam and make myself, you know, Jewish, Christian, a Muslim, all in the same spirit, because there's only one God. So it's not difficult to accept that.
MashaAllah, this is very important because obviously, logically and scientifically, there is a creator. As everybody knows, Darwinism has been thought worldwide, which denies the existence of a creator, and it prevailed, controlled 99% of the century, the people in the 20th century, which inevitably led to violence and the terror. However, it is very logical, alhamdulillah, and obvious that Allah is the creator of everything. Do you believe the 3 Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, so can peacefully exist?
Can they peacefully exist?
Yeah.
Well, we know that they have historically. I mean, we know that the Middle East has been under Muslim rulership for the most of the last, I mean, let's say from really the 7th century forward. And even with the creation of Israel, that posed a problem, but frankly the biggest issue was the way that the British and the French divided the whole region in the early 20th century during the First World War, when the Ottoman Empire from here in Istanbul, when that was destroyed, the British and French took it upon themselves to create these borders, you know, and these fake countries that are now, you know, the modern Middle East. And so I think it's time that we forget the issue of Sunni versus Shia, for example, and go back to the principle, which is the spirit of the Prophet's words in the Quran. And if you look and respect all beings as created in the image of God, then really there's no reason to fight over this over the superficial differences, you know, between how you practice. At the end of the day, there's only, you know, at the end of the day, what matters is your relationship to God. And if you're a believer, then you know that you have to ultimately pay, in a sense, what is owed. You have a relationship that, if you know, you have to basically assume your responsibility for your own soul, and you cannot do that for anyone else.
Do you believe you can set an example to the public with your faith?
Well, that's the reason that I verbalized it. It's one thing to accept Muhammad as a prophet and to not say anything, to just be quiet. It's another thing to accept him verbally, vocally, and that is what makes you Muslim, no? To basically verbalize that you believe Muhammad is the last prophet of the one God. And that's all it means. So the fact that I was willing to say that publicly is what makes me Muslim. So I think it's a good example that, you know, you can be respectful of all three faiths. You can be of all three faiths, a continuous, you know, how do you say, a continuous person within these faiths, so long as there's, you know, the basic principle, which is faith in the one God that binds them all together.
We love the same prophets, and we believe the same prophets, in the, according to the Quran, the three divine Abrahamic religions.
Naturally.
And inshallah, in the end time, Allah will prevail His religion all over the world, and then we will see the unity of three divine religions, and we are very close by, inshallah. And inshallah, the entire Christianity and Judaism will convert to be Muslims, because this is very obvious, inshallah. If they become Muhammadi, if they accept Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the prophet, they will become real Christians and real Jews, inshallah. Because according to all three divine religions, it has to be accepted. He is a prophet of Allah, inshallah.
Mm. Yes, I mean, I think I would hope that that people would respect and Muhammad, the prophet, peace be upon him, that they would accept that he is the prophet. Because again, this is all that stops one from being a Muslim. So long as you accept that Muhammad is a prophet of God, then you are Muslim. So it's not a difficult task. And then frankly, you know, aside from the three faiths, don't forget, there are many Buddhists and Taoists and people of Hindus, many people from around the world who have faith. They practice in a different way. Hopefully, they can see that there is only one, you know, they can admit that there's only one creator, and as opposed to the different demigods that they may worship, they would hopefully only worship one source, one creator, one God.
We are living in an age of faith, inshallah, because the scientific evidences and the intellectual struggle against irreligious philosophies can only be done with scientific evidence. It shows us there is definitely a creator. For example, if we look at the science of creation, for example, if you take the design in the mosquito, it do anesthesia. It anesthetizes the skin, and then stick his needle and find a vessel and sucks blood, and also secretes a substance which is prevents the coagulation, an anticoagulation material which is called heparin. Heparin is used in the medicine actually today, which was discovered in the 20th century. We use it. And this mosquito has been using it since millions of years.
Mm.
And it anesthetizes, it uses anticoagulants, and then it sucks blood. And it can even see in the darkness with its special seeing system, the violet seeing system. So that means there must be a creator, of course. It cannot be a product of chance. And scientific evidences provide the evidence of a creator, and we are living in this age. With scientific evidences, people will all around the world have faith, and this will bring peace, democracy, justice, compassion, mercy, love to the entire world.
Is that a question?
Your opinion, yeah. It's not a question, but you can comment on that, actually, inshallah.
Yeah, I think that we're reaching the end of the age of materialism, because the path of materialism is a path to hell. It's basically, it's satanic, you know. It doesn't have to, you don't have to openly worship Satan to be satanic if you only believe in this world and the good that you think you can gain from it, because we know that we're all going to pass on and die here. So the question is, what have you offered? What are you able to create with the wealth that is given to you? In regards to this issue of random chance, for example, they would like people to believe this because this is how the casino operates. And in the casino, they say anyone can be lucky, and you can win $1 million, for example. The same is based on the same ideology. You know, Darwin is satanic. It's the idea that by chance, the human being, you know, evolved from an ape. By chance, by the millions of working proteins, for example, the synthesis of proteins, and the fact that how could you ultimately, you know, even if you take any animal, as you said, why is it that the mosquito is able to
anesthesia system, anticoagulation.
The anticoagulation system, exactly, because it could have gone in millions of different ways that would have been errors, and it would have destroyed the mosquito.
Definitely,
the random mutation, in a sense, it has so many. There's such a small chance, like 0.00001% chance of actually succeeding if it's random, right? But they want people to think in this way, because that is the nature of the casino economy they have created. The casino economy is that you can be, get lucky and become a movie star. You know, one out of a million people can get lucky and become a movie star. One out of a million people can go to a casino and win $1 million. You see, that is the nature of the world that they have built. So they like people to think it's all a question of chance, and not to practice the faith, the spirit, that actually is able to transform, that's transformative, and realizes that nothing comes to you unless God wants it to, unless there's a spirit inside of you that deserves it, that you work and you put the effort and the time and the struggle towards building something, and then it comes to you as a reward, in a sense, right? You have to earn the kingdom of heaven. You cannot just expect it to, by random chance, to land in your lap.
Yeah, so you're right. I mean, even a single protein to emerge by chance is impossible. This Mr. Adnan Oktar gave, this is a very powerful evidence which defeats Darwinism completely, because for a single protein to emerge, other proteins must exist before, because proteins can only be synthesized by proteins, enzymes. But this is not enough. For proteins to exist, a DNA must exist. For a DNA, proteins must exist. They must coexist at the same time. And energy is required, energy organelle. A complete living cell must exist to synthesize the first protein. That eliminates the Darwinism completely, because if a single protein cannot exist by chance, that means Darwinism is dead. And also we have the fossils. We can only know if evolution is a fact or not from the fossil evidence. It is very obvious God created. So we question if God created through evolution or not. We can only find the answer from the fossil evidence. And if you look at the fossil evidence, we don't see any evolution, because there are no transition between species. Species appear abruptly, complete, and perfectly formed. This is not our idea. Charles Darwin admits that. He says there are no transitional forms. And today's very famous Darwinist paleontologist, Stephen Jay Gould, Niels Eldredge, Colin Peterson, they all say there are no transitions. The Turkish evolutionists, they admit that there are no transitions. That means no evolution, of course. But we come across a problem, actually. There are some Muslim evolutionists. This is a trap. Because they see Darwinists as a majority, sometimes, some people, and they've tried to find a middle path between Islam and Darwinism. But this is not the way it should be, because this is an ugly behavior, actually, because Darwinism is a pagan religion which denies the existence of a creator, and Islam is a religion which accepts Allah as the creator of everything. And if you look at the Quran, we see evidences of sudden creation. For example, Allah created Adam, peace be upon him. He shaped clay with his two hands. Allah says Allah shaped the clay like porcelain, with a shape of a human body, and then he breathed his soul, and with his word be, it became Adam alayhi salam. And then, for example, Moses throws his staff on the ground, this is in the Quran, and it all of a sudden transforms into a snake, a living thing, an inanimate matter and a living thing. And then Allah says, hold it, he holds the snake, and it transforms back into the staff, inanimate matter. Jesus, peace be upon him, breathes into bird-shaped, clay, made out of clay, inanimate matter, and transforms into a living bird. And then we have Huri, Vildan, Gulmans in the paradise. Of course they are not created through evolution. Or man or jinn, are they created through evolution? Of course they are not. Basically, there is no evidence for creation. Nothing about evolution, I'm sorry, may Allah forbid, there is nothing about evolution in the Quran. So Allah did not create through evolution. That means we refute Darwinism with scientific evidences completely. There is no middle path. And Muslims shouldn't fall into this trap, because Satan wants them to come closer to Darwinism, a middle point. Oh, Islam is reconcilable with Darwinism. No, there is no such thing. Allah did not create through evolution. That's the bottom line. And intellectual struggle is very important, Mr. Adnan Oktar always says, because today, at the 21st century, it can only be done intellectually that Islam prevails. To enjoin the right and to forbid the wrong, which is an order from Allah in the Quran, can only be done intellectually with scientific evidences. Okay, but why Darwinism is so important is, again, Mr. Adnan Oktar attaches much importance to that, is the basic tenets of Darwinism, which are struggle for survival, survival of the fittest. If you are strong, you survive. And you survive by crushing the weak individuals, and conflict is the cause of the progress, these inevitably leads to violence and the terror. and which have seen, for example, communism, fascism, racism, anarchism, and terrorism as emerged in the 20th century?
Yeah, there's a long history there. It has to do with the British Empire, frankly, because, for example, Huxley, who was the T.H. Huxley, I believe it was, the grandfather of Aldous Huxley and Julian Huxley. Huxley was the one who was the first big promoter of Darwin's theory and actually turned it into more of a science, because Darwin was trying to document his discoveries in the Galapagos. And I think he was not even so sure of the idea of evolution, frankly, or the natural selection of species. Huxley was the one that really pushed him. And of course, Huxley is a very important imperialist family. Aldous Huxley writes The Brave New World, you know, in the 20th century, which documents the plan for how they want to treat the whole human society as basically a controlled system that you can feed drugs to people to keep them happy, to keep them placated. The concentration camp of the mind, really, you see, because they saw human beings as animals. And so as long as people feel happy, as long as they feel happy from drugs, from fake happiness that's given to them, then, you know, they'll behave. And that was the model for how they were going to run this empire, this new world order that they are trying to create across the globalized world. Basically, all the countries are subdued by a monetary system run from, like, the IMF, for example, run by the World Bank, and controlled really from the United States and London. And then people themselves would acquiesce to this because they would be so distracted by what would seem to make them happy. Entertainment, for example, you know, media. The truth would be out there. It's available to us. We can access information. We can study, for example, as you talk about, the facts of evolution are they're full of holes. You know, they never could prove the missing link between the ape man and humans. Of course, there's other theories about creative evolution. The idea of a morphic resonance field, for example, that pervades us, because we really don't understand the fields of the universe. We barely understand the four forces, right? The four forces of gravity and electromagnetism and the strong force, weak force. We're still understanding this. Quantum physics has completely changed the nature of mind, because it shows that man's mind, subjective reality, is also influencing the physics around him. They're actually, you know, his mind is actually changing the nature of experiments, is actually changing the nature of reality. Consciousness itself, you see, is changing the world we live in. So this completely destroys the Darwinist approach, which is materialistic. Life is not materialistic. It can't be. Without human mind, there would be no reality. There would be no universe. You know, the mind of man, which is a reflection of the mind of God, the Creator. And they don't want people to believe that man is creative. Because if man is creative, then we can actually, every one of us has the Spirit of God within us. If every one of us has that Spirit of God inside of us, we can transform this world at any moment. We can overthrow it. We can overturn this order that they're trying to create for us, as opposed to making us blind and conformist and taking drugs and, you know, and entertaining us with programs that distract us. We can say, we're not going to watch it. We're not going to give in to your power structure. We're not going to listen to the rules that you're creating. We're actually going to find out for ourselves. We're going to explore. We're going to become curious. We know that we're basically enslaved by the overall economy that we're living in, and we know that there's something very wrong in the world. There's a lot of evil in the world we can't understand. So if we could actually at any moment realize that we have the power to change this. We have the power to not submit, but to actually, not physically fight, but just challenge it. To boycott, to say no, I'm not going to watch those TV programs. No, I'm not going to go to a club and be, you know, be hedonistic and listen to the music that you tell me to listen to, and treat other humans like they're animals, and you know, whether man or woman. As soon as you choose that, to say no to that, and choose to commit yourself to a spiritual journey of lifting your own consciousness, then you'll become a beacon for others to follow. And this is the spiritual path that they don't want you to understand. They want that to be a mystery. It's magic to believe that. You know, believe in materialism, believe in money that we give you, believe in this money. That's power. That's not power. Money has no power. It's black magic. It's a quick path. As soon as you give it away, that's power. When you give money away, that's actually power. When you take money, it makes you a slave to money.
Yes, you. That was a very important part that you said. Without consciousness, the material world does not exist. Actually, this is also a scientific fact, which Mr. Adnan Oktar has several books about this. Everything is created in for human soul, which Allah breathed his soul, at the level of perception. Like in our dreams, for example. In our dreams, we have a material world. Then we wake up all of a sudden. We have another appearance of room, and we're lying in the bed. But Allah creates everything at the level of perception. And without consciousness, without the soul created by Allah, the material world does not exist. It exists at the perception level. Now, we are coming close to the end of our program. Do you have a message to the Muslims and Turks?
To the Muslims and Turks? My message, I think, across the board is simply, it's time to wake up. This is truly the end times. Whether or not it's the end of the world, it's not good. Maybe it's not going to physically end. I hope not, because we're on it's a very dangerous time. There's many imperialists in the West, in the British Empire, and their American cohorts who would like to see World War III with Russia and China. And the Middle East will be the place where they will orchestrate this to create it. The real conflict is between the British Empire that's declining, that's collapsing, the monetary system is coming down, and Russia and China, who basically they want to loot and cause as much chaos and conflict with as possible. That's one strategy. That doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to happen because people can recognize the danger, and they becoming aware of it, already they change the game. Because we're not completely controlled by material forces. There is a spiritual factor involved in all this. There's a destiny involved. And God is here. God will intervene. At any moment, with prayer, we can save our souls, you see. Fundamentally, your soul can be saved. That's the most precious gift you have, is your soul. Do you give it up? Would you give it up? Would you surrender it to have some power in this world, to have some material, some money, some kind of happiness in the moment, some drugs in the moment? Or would you actually be willing to sacrifice now to have a much more rich, sublime experience in the near future? Maybe not even in the hereafter, but God will give us, I believe, in the near future. And if you have been treated, if you've treated yourself well, if you've treated your fellow man well, you will have a much richer life to come. And if you've
Inshallah.
Been feeding and only for yourself and only serving yourself, I think you will suffer hell.
You are very correct. I mean, this is the end times, and we know this from the hadith of our Prophet. And many signs came through, more than 150 signs, as we talked about, just the occupation of the Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran-Iraqi war, bloody attack to the Kaaba in 1980, and then comets, Halley Comet and Lulin Comet, a third comet that you, as you know.
Elenin, wasn't it?
Yeah, inshallah. And also sun and moon eclipses in the month of Ramadan. Two following years, our Prophet said. In 1981 and 1982, they happened one after each other, inshallah. An occupation of the Azerbaijan and progress in the atheistic philosophies, open denial of Allah, which we have seen since 1980s. Which has never been seen in the past. And then also a lot of bloodshed, terrorism, and the increase in the earthquakes, tornadoes. Earthquakes has increased like it has never been seen in the history before, after 1999, and hundreds of falls like in the past. So all these signs shows we are living in the end times. And we know from the hadith of 7,000 years, our Prophet says, until my time, 5,600 years are over. So between 1400 Hijrah and 1500, we must have see Islam's dominion in the world, inshallah. And we're living in the end times. You're right. Darwinism and materialism came to an end. Inshallah, a golden age is starting with Mehdi alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam. Inshallah, we are living in these times. Inshallah.
Inshallah.
MashaAllah, you became a Muslim. MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah. And inshallah, Allah may increase your faith. And you, inshallah, make you instrumental in Islam prevailing the world. Inshallah, make you instrumental in that. All of us, of course, we ask to be the, inshallah, students of Mehdi alayhi salam. Inshallah, pray to Allah to that. And inshallah, we will see the peace and golden age in the entire world. Elhamdülillah. Bu akşamlık programımızın sonuna geldik. İnşallah yarın tekrar görüşmek üzere. Hayırlı akşamlar, hayırlı geceler herkese. İnşallah.